So in a minute, Matt's going to speak to us on the parable of the lost son. So if anyone's not familiar, we're going to act this out. So we're going to need a few people to volunteer. We've got scripts and stuff here as well. And for anyone who does volunteer, you'll see that in orange, that's your words. In green is anything you might need to act out. So I thought I'd start with kids. We need a few people to be servants. Anyone up for being servants?
William is.
Go on, we've got one. William, come on. Yeah, come on, Ollie. Come on, Ollie. Luke, you're going to be a servant as well? Come on, we got some. So we need you. Do you want to grab the robe and Piero's dirty sliders from the chair? I don't know if they're dirty. We also need a few more kids. Does anyone want to be a pig? We need a few pigs. Not exclusive. Go on, Rex. Not exclusive to kids. Go on, Anita, you can be a pig. Zeki, come on, you can be a pig as well. Really good roles here. We need a few people to be salespeople. They're just going to be a crowd. Come on up as well. Whoa, this is already getting extremely crowded by my feet. And that's only half of the cast already. So we need somebody to be an older son. This is not exclusive to kids. So any...
Yeah, I can see.
Any actors?
Stand there.
Sarah, come on up. Come on up. Right, Rex. Rex, calm down. Great. Could you pass these out? Could you pass them out?
To who?
So older son is to... Okay. It's got names. Older son, Sarah. Okay, so we've got an older son. We need a younger son. Cool, don't all shout out at once. Can I get Callum, because I know you're good at drama. Can I get you, Callum? Yes, mate, love that. What a legend. That is a professional right there. We need a... So we've got an older son, a younger son. We need a father. Who would like to be a father? Jess, did I see a foam finger up there? Come on, Jess, come on up to the front. You can be the father. Wonderful. They are labelled. And we need a farmer as well. One farmer, that is our last one. Any farmers? One... he's not it. One farmer, come on, out of how many people? Someone's pointing. Yes, come on up. Wonderful. Okay. So, guys, can I get you to listen up here? Farmer's coming up. Oh, who's the father? Jess is the father. So, what we're going to do, I'm going to read out the script, and then we have got our wonderful actors here who are going to act it out. So if you're not on stage, if you're not speaking, please do be quiet so everyone can hear. Ruth is going to be the Roman mic, so you guys can shout into it. We will see how this goes. I think this is going to be great fun. So we need the father and the son centre stage, please. So if your father and the two sons come centre stage. Is that you, Sarah? Come on. Come forward. So, as I said, so if it's in orange, you speak it. If it's in green, you're going to need to act it out. So, a man had two sons and a large estate with many servants. The younger son wanted to have his inheritance early while his father was still alive.
Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.
Oh, as you wish, my son. Are you serious?
So the father divided the property between them, and the younger son gathered all he had, and he travelled to a distant country. I'm so glad we've got Callum. What an actor. So we need the salespeople up the front here. Salespeople, where are you? Wonderful. So in the distant country, a line of salespeople are selling various consumable items, such as food and drink and clothing, that look very appealing to the younger son. So in the distant country, the younger son squandered his property and he spent everything that he had and that the father had given to him. No, not yet. And then the younger son hands money to each of the salespeople with excitement until he has no money left. After he had spent everything, he hired himself out to a farmer. Over here, the farmer's here, all the way over here. The younger son walks up to the farmer.
Hello there.
Do you have any work for me?
Yes, I need some help. Someone to go out to my fields and tend to my pigs. You must feed them, but you must not eat any of their food.
Yes, sir.
The younger son fed the pigs. Pigs, can we do some oinking noises? The younger son fed the pigs, but he realised how much his life had changed. He would have gladly filled himself with the food that he fed to the pigs.
How many of my father's hired hands have food enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will go home and say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.
So the younger son left the farm to head home to his father. So the father is with his servants. Servants, where are you? Servants, you've got to be sitting very sadly with the father. So while the younger son was still far off, the father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around his son.
I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Servants, quickly bring out the best robe I have and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a fatted calf and prepare us it for us to eat at a dinner celebration. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Put them on him.
Just wait for Callum to get robed. Very nice. And so they began to celebrate his return, and they were all singing and dancing. bit more dancing, Jess, you're supposed to be dancing. Catch me sitting in the sun, no top of shade. Now, the older son was in the field at work. As he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called to one of his father's servants.
No!
Wait, what?
What is going on here?
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Who's the main servant? It should be on a...
Your brother has returned. Your father is throwing him a celebration because he's back and safe and sound.
The older son became angry and refused to go into the celebration. The father came out to greet him.
Oh, my son, your brother has returned. Come join in the feast.
Listen, for all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed you. Yet you have given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours comes back after wasting all your money of your property, and you kill the fattened calf for him.
Son, you are always with me, and all that is yours is all that is mine is yours. But we have had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.
Wonderful. Should we give them all a round of applause? I don't think I've ever seen acting quite like that. Very nicely done. If you couldn't quite get what was going on there, I'm going to hand over to Matt now, who will unpack all of that madness of that story.
How do you follow that, eh? Powerful piece of act. I think Callum anchored it very well, brought the gravitas that it needed, kept it together. Thanks, Callum. So my name's Matt, I'm the minister here at Maybridge. If we haven't met, let me add a huge welcome to you if you're visiting us. And I want to just tell you a few things, particularly about a younger son in that story. And really, it's a story about coming home. And it's a story Jesus told, which I think is the clearest, most direct way that the Christian message is explained in the whole of the Bible. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And it might surprise you to learn that when Jesus told this story, he was speaking to a group of very self-righteous religious leaders. And he's questioning how they see God. And he's saying to the most religious guys in the world, you've missed it. It's about something else. It's not what you think. And so he tells this story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. This was an amazing hook to get everybody's attention. Jesus is this really great storyteller. So this man has two sons. And what would normally happen is that eventually when he died, the older son would get 2/3 of the estate. And the younger son in this family would get 1/3. But the younger son comes to his dad while he's still alive, his heart's still beating, and he says, I want my share now. This is basically the most offensive thing you could possibly say to your dad, right? It's like saying to your dad, I want my life to be exactly what it would be like if you didn't exist. I don't want you. I want your stuff. I want your possessions. I want you to be dead to me so I can enjoy spending your money. The crowd listening to Jesus tell this story would have been shocked. They'd have been shaking their heads. What? Oh, this is a terrible son. But imagine you're the dad in the story. What emotions would you be going through in this moment? Anger, disappointment, sadness. But right from the beginning, the dad in this story does not react in the way that everybody expects. He could just tell the son where to go, obviously. He could give him some very strong language, shall we say. But what he does at the beginning is he lets the son have exactly what he wants. And then we saw this all acted out, didn't we? Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he takes his share, he's got it, his third, and he sets off. He ends up in another country, puts as much distance between himself and his dad as he possibly can, and he ends up in wild living. Think he's got wine and women and cars and all sorts, and everything seems like a lot of fun until the day when it isn't. The money runs out, of course. The distant country, away from his dad, it seems so good, so appealing, so wonderful. I can do what I like. I can make my own decisions. Nobody will tell me what to do. It'll be amazing. Maybe you've lived some version of that too. I know I have. Promised so much, delivered so little. Eventually, the parties were over and the people he thought were his friends have disappeared. And he ends up feeding pigs. the worst thing imaginable for a Jewish man is feeding pigs. That's what he does. And then it happens. He came to his senses, it says. There's loads of emotion in this story, but this is just pure logic. My dad's servants have a better life than I do. If I go and say sorry, maybe I can be on that level. Maybe I can be one of them. It's got to be better than this. Now, the son has made a lot of mistakes, but the thing underneath them, this is really important, is how he views his dad. That's his big issue. He has no idea how much his dad loves him because he's focused on the stuff and the money. He thinks, if I go home, maybe I can rejoin the house on the bottom rung of the ladder. That's the maximum he thinks he'll get from his dad. Maybe I could be his servant. Maybe I could do that. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you've done something so bad that you rehearse an apology before you make it? Tim, you must have done this. You've done something so bad, you rehearse the words, you think it through. And the younger son does exactly that thing. I bet he's really scared, a bit like Anita's really scared of volcanoes. This younger son is scared of seeing his dad. And his apology is pretty good. He's worded it really well. He says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven and against you. Great words. Now, we know the motivation is that he's hungry, actually. He's in need. He's sorry because his life is not as good as he'd like it to be. And so this is what happens. He got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. This is wonderful. While he was still a long way off, his dad saw him. The only way that that could have happened is because his dad was looking. He's at the house, maybe stood in front of the house. He's looking for him, hoping that one day his son would come home. And the moment he sees him, he runs. In fact, he sprints. Now, in that culture, dads did not run. It was undignified. It was embarrassing. This dad doesn't care. And think the fact that he goes to his son before the son even says anything tells us two massive things. Firstly, his love for his son is not based on how good his apology is. He loves him regardless of how good his words are. He just wanted him to come home. And secondly, this is super important, he'd already forgiven his son before he arrived back. Now, if you've ever forgiven anybody, and I'm sure you have, you'll know it costs you something. The worse the offence, the bigger the cost. Not money, but emotionally, it costs something, doesn't it, to forgive somebody. And the father's already done this before the son comes home. The huge emotional cost of forgiveness has been dealt with in his own soul. And that's why when he sees his son, he just throws his arms around him and kisses him. Before he can do anything, his dad just restores him. And it's only after that the son squeezes out his little rehearsed apology. And the words are true. He's not worthy of being called his father's son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. He's so excited to have his son home. But if you think about this, in this moment, when he comes home, I think there's basically three different things the father could have done. Okay, he's excited, but there's three things he could have done, right? He could have been completely fair, couldn't he? He could have said, well, son, you're back. It was your choice. You made your bed. You got to lie in it now. You're not my son anymore. That was your choice. That's not on me. This is what you've done. Or he could be quite nice to him. Those are some big theological words I've used there. He could be quite nice to him. He could say, well, you know what, mate, you've been a really bad son, but I do love you. I'm going to give you a chance. Tell you what, work for me for a few years, play your cards right, and I'll bring you back into some stuff down the line, but you've got to earn it because, you know, it was really bad what you did. The way you treated me was terrible. Now, if the father had done that, everybody would have gone, that's pretty nice. That's pretty reasonable. Those are not what he did. The third thing, he could be remarkably gracious. Now, us Christians like the word grace. It's in loads of our songs. But it's often misunderstood. What it means is extravagant, over-the-top, unwarranted favour. Just over-the-top goodness towards someone who not only hasn't earned it, but deserves the opposite. It's a bit like if someone owed you loads of money, like millions of pounds, and you didn't just write off the debt, you gave them a blank cheque as well. That would be over-the-top, wouldn't it? And the father has, he has this massive party, he kills the big calf, which was the best meat. All of this, it goes further than fairness, further than niceness. And that's where it becomes this great idea, grace. And it costs the father more than just an oversized cow. It's the price of forgiveness, of taking the pain and rejection into himself, which he does to bring this son back into the family again. And what Jesus is doing with this story is telling us exactly what God is like. You might have been a follower of Jesus for ages, but it's easy to forget this core thing. Or you might be new to this and you've never heard of it. Or you might be somebody who's just sort of dropped out of church things a bit and you're a bit apathetic because you've lost what God is like somewhere along the way. The message of this is God wants you to come home, which is not a building or even just a church service, but to him. And through what Jesus did on a cross, he's made it possible for anybody, anytime. Whatever you did, whatever has been done to you, whatever you think of yourself, God is like the dad in the story waiting for you to come home. If you're on the journey and you need some help, one of us would love to chat and pray with you at the end. Some of us have even got these red badges, which incriminates us. We're available. Whatever you're comfortable with, we'll be around at the end of the service or the rest of this day. But overall, let me say, we hope you feel at home through everything we're doing on this particular day. But if you do, this is just a tiny taste, I believe, of the home that God has for you. Why not do some business with him? Speak to him. Learn more about this. Chat with some friends who are Christians if you're not yet one yourself. And if you are a Christian and you've lost your way, you can still come home. That's always on offer. Surely you haven't been as bad as the son in the story, eh? Actually, we all have. Back to Ruth.